incredible.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Who is the biggest surprise in 2025, and can they keep it rolling in 2026? Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. We'll be this week, Lee Spencer and Davey Siegel.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have Lee and Davey here. And we'll start with the question I ask in the open. Lee, who do you think the biggest surprise was in 2025?
Chase Briscoe, absolutely. I mean, what he was able to accomplish moving into the 19 ride, making himself a weekly contender. Once it clicked for him, once that light switch went off for him at Joe Gibbs Racing, it was game on. And I think he showed that throughout the year.
But don't you think that that was, to some level, the expectation? Is certainly the expectation he had for himself?
I'm not sure it was going in, because Chase had been through so much adversity over the course of his career, and the way Stewart Haas Racing ended was just another one of those kicks in the gut, right? So to go from where he was to get into the 19 and just to go lights out, make it to the championship for his first time in his career, I think that it took a lot of kumbaya between he and James Small. They had to find that happy place, and once they did, man, they were dynamite.
All right, Davey, who do you think the biggest surprise was in 2025?
Lee took my answer. How dare she? Chase Briscoe is a big surprise, and I think that, Brett, you have a good point too, because obviously when you're in a Joe Gibbs Racing car, you are expected to win races. You are expected to contend for championships. And that's exactly what Chase Briscoe did. And that's why you saw as much emotion out of him after he won Pocono as he did. And he was very open and forthcoming with his emotions, especially to his wife, to us at home, basically saying he was so stressed out because he hadn't won yet. And he knew that he had to. So Briscoe is a good, positive surprise for me. And I'll tell you another one, even though we kind of expected him to do what he did as well, was Shane Van Gisbergen, because not just only did he win one race or two or three or four, he won five of them on road courses this year in his rookie season, first full-time with Trackhouse Racing. Sure, we expected him to have some success and we expected him to run well, but to win five and to do it in the way that he did, just absolutely shellacking the field, that was really impressive to me.
Yeah, I think Davey makes a great point, because I think at the start of the season, we all thought, yeah, Van, you know, SVG is going to make the playoffs because he'll win a couple of road course races. Well, yeah, it became, to his point, five, and most of them weren't close.
No, they weren't close at all. I mean, once he got the lead, it was game on, and it was over, and which kind of opens the door for 2026, and can Connor Zillage repeat that? You know, if he can find his groove, make everything work for him at Trackhouse Racing, are we going to see a battle between Zillage and Van Gisbergen every week? I mean, that would be fun as hell.
Well, yeah, we saw it in some of the Xfinity races. Now, O'Reilly races coming up this year, Davey. You know, could we see those kind of battles a couple of times this year?
Boy, I hope so. Lee's right. It would be really fun to watch those two battle it out on the Cup Series side of things. And like you said, Brett, which was Xfinity at Sonoma, I mean, that's one of the races of the year, in my opinion, just because the battle that we saw between those two drivers on that day was something special. And I think it made it even more special knowing that that's something that we probably are going to see for the next 5 to 10 years, hopefully, down the road in the Cup Series. But even though Shane made it look pretty easy, I think we all need to remember and realize that it's not, and that he's really that good. I think Connor is really, really close, if not banging quarter panels with Shane, in terms of a pure talent level, in terms of road course racing. The thing is, Shane now has a bit of an advantage on Connor in terms of seat time in this Gen 7 car with Trackhouse Racing in the Cup Series. I'm not saying that Connor's got a lot of way to go to catch up to Shane, but Shane does have a little bit on Connor, so I think we should pump the brakes collectively and just realize that Connor is still a very young driver, a very young adult, and he has a lot of learning left to do, and he would tell you as much. He has told us as much. So I would not be surprised to see Connor win a road course race this year, but I would be surprised to see him win multiple ahead of SVG. I just think the 88's that good. 87 now this year.
Well, let me ask you, Lee, you talk about SVG and, you know, the surprise that he was in winning five road course races. Did he show enough improvement on the ovals to surprise you this past year?
Absolutely. I think he and Steve and Duran, the way that they worked together and just kind of fed off of each other, because Steven really had never been in this position before, you know, a crew chief at the Cup level. So to have all of it just kind of build together, to grow together and mature. And we saw that over the course of the season. You would look and it's like, oh my gosh, a 10th place finish on an oval. And you know, it just starts clicking. And we said the same thing about Zilich in the Xfinity when he won it at Pocono. Oh, well, it's not really an oval. It's a try, you know, but then he started winning on ovals and you just kind of had to throw your hands up and say, yes, this kid can get the job done. And I think SVG's there. I would be absolutely shocked if he doesn't at least get to round of 12. I mean, you see these little incremental improvements, and I think that there's one for there. But Trackhouse is going to go through some huge changes this year. You know, with Connor coming in, Ross Chastain's going to have a new crew chief. So you have to look at all these little things that are happening behind the scenes. And if they can get the consistency going that they've had in the past, then I think it'll be collectively a great year for Justin Marks' teams.
I've been told at this point, Davey, that, you know, obviously SVG likes winning races. He's enjoying winning the, you know, the road courses, but he really wants to win an oval and prove something now.
Definitely. And I think you've seen that mindset out of him since he came over to America full time. And he was very open and honest as well about it being a process. It wasn't going to happen in year one. Being honest, and I think he probably would tell us too, it'd be a surprise if it happens in year two. I think Lee's point about making the round of 12, that is, I think, potentially a realistic goal for that team this upcoming year, because we knew that they were capable of doing it this year, especially with their prowess on road courses. We knew that they were going to get there. It's just being able to have that consistency over what was a three-race stretch in the first round to get to the round of 12. But SVG is a realist, for better or for worse. He has that Kiwi dry humor to him, so to speak. So look, I think running well on ovals should be expected now out of Shane Van Gisbergen. Winning a race on an oval, I still think we have a little bit to go to get there. However, he surprised us before, and I would not be shocked if he surprises us again. I still think, though, he has a little bit of work left to do on the ovals. And still, too, he and Stephen Doran, I mean, they have good chemistry right now, and they know what it takes to get the job done on road courses. They're getting there in terms of ovals. But you got to remember, for as good as he has been and as better as he has shown, there still are 10, 15 drivers ahead of him that do this every single week and have been doing it for 10, 15 more years than he has. So small incremental gains, I think, for Shane Van Gisbergen in year two at Trackhouse. That is what I think we should expect.
Let me throw another name out, Lee, of a guy that I thought was a big surprise this year for a couple of reasons, and that's Ryan Preece. You know, he had not had a lot of success, or the kind of success I think that Tony Stewart thought he would have at Stewart Haas, and for various reasons, goes over to RFK in a late added third car and outperformed the other two guys at RFK for the most part.
I think he's driven. I mean, I think he's got something to prove. I think once the reality set in with Chase Briscoe of where he was and what he needed to do, and, you know, this is going to be probably his last and greatest opportunity, I think Preece is in that same boat. You know, here I am. I finally got a shot. I'm with like-minded guys. He looked very much like Chris Buescher from the last 2 years, right? I mean, he kind of jumped in and became that guy. And it's really interesting because I think in both those situations, you know, with Buescher and Preece, with Christopher Bell and Chase Briscoe, be careful what you wish for, because, you know, when you bring over a guy like this or recommend a guy like this, it's almost like Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson, right? Jeff Gordon says, hey, I got this guy. And then, yeah, then he never wins another championship again. But Preece isn't ready to win championships yet, but boy, he's gaining. I would have liked to have seen what he was capable of doing at Snowball Derby this week, but I think he withdrew late in the game. So it was, you know, one of those deals, but I only see him getting better. I think RFK, like Trackhouse, is one of those up and coming clubs that's just going to get better with age.
What do you think about what Preece did this year, Davey?
I was impressed, especially if you think about the fact that at Talladega had a top five run and got thrown out after for some spoiler shim infractions, which we now know had no real competitive advantage, but it's a rule. NASCAR had to enforce it and they moved on. He obviously didn't make the playoffs, but if that penalty did not happen, you have to say, what if? What if they were in a spot where they could have maybe raced for points instead of racing for the win? Would that have changed things? I understand that ifs are just that, but he had a really, really good year. And for the most part, he was the leading car at RFK Racing ahead of Chris Buescher and Brad Keselowski, who was in a slump after a really, really torrid start to the season, finished one spot behind Chris in terms of the point standings, but still had a handful of top 10 finishes, 14 on the year. And we talked to him every single Monday night on Late Shift on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. And rain or shine, he always joined us. There seemed to be a lot more shine than rain this year, which realistically has not always been the case for Ryan Preece. I agree with you guys in terms of this being his last realistic shot to get the job done at the Cup Series level. And Brad Keselowski, I think, was really, really looking at Ryan Preece this year and saying, that's why I hired this guy, because I know what he's capable of, and he's now getting the chance to show it.
Well, if you didn't think they had enough laps at North Wilkesboro when they ran the All-Star race there, they gave you a Cup race to see more laps. Well, now you're going to see even more. We'll talk about that when we come back.
This is PRN's David Stiles. Life is always moving, and so are you. So what you need is PRN's mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcasts while you're on the go. You also get station listings and on-demand access to your favorite PRN shows like Fast Talk, Garage Pass, and At the Track. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips by downloading the PRN mobile app today. Available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
This isn't just race day. It's one big Texas-sized weekend on the track. Big sounds from the stage, big flavors that only Austin can deliver, and big memories with your crew. At Circuit of the Americas, NASCAR goes all out, all weekend. Don't just watch the action, get right in the middle of it. NASCAR at COTA, February 27th through March 1st. Get tickets at NASCARatCOTA.com.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back, along with Davey Siegel and Lee Spencer. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. And, you know, Davey, the fans said they wanted more at North Wilkesboro, so they moved the All-Star race to Dover and moved then a points race to North Wilkesboro. That's another story we can get into later on. And it was going to be 400 laps at North Wilkesboro, which is what they used to run, if I remember correctly, back in the old days before they shuttered the place. Well, now NASCAR has announced 50 more laps. It's going to be 450 laps at North Wilkesboro. Is more better?
No. And I hate to be that way. I hate to be the Debbie Downer because it's the holiday season. We're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be joyful and jovial. But more is not better. Longer is not the answer. In fact, it's the exact wrong way to go. I have been beating the drum for years of shortening the season, shortening the races, all those things. Realistically, I understand, not going to happen. Contracts are in place, and the races are going to be what they are. The schedule is going to be 36 points paying races for probably the rest of time. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I don't understand this move other than just giving fans more racing, which, yes, sure, it's not necessarily a bad thing all the time. But in this case, I think that there still are a lot of unknowns in terms of how North Wilkesboro is going to race for a points race when there's not anything in terms of besides just money on the line. I mean, there are still a lot of questions left to be answered as it pertains to this racetrack with these Cup Series race cars and this new revamped surface of sorts. I'm happy we're going to North Wilkesboro. I'm supportive of them getting a points race. I do not think this is a good move. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see the point here.
Lee?
Well, this kind of reminds me of the days back in Bristol before there were was a tunnel. It's 50 laps more for somebody who's already pissed off to lose their mind.
Right now.
Which makes for great radio. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it.
In the middle of July.
Well, yeah. I can still remember Kyle Busch and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I mean, these things, these things happen over time. And I think it just means 50 more laps of storylines.
Okay. Well, you know, as a journalist, you can look at it that way. I was of the opinion in the first place that two of the three all-star races we've had there have not been particularly competitive. And so I think having the all-star race leave there, I'm of the opinion of, like Davey said, more is not necessarily better. By going from 200 to 400 laps was not necessarily the best move. And now you're adding 50 more. They didn't have great races at North Wilkesboro back in the day.
They didn't. You're absolutely right. And so this is another experiment. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I think maybe, is it just holding a calendar spot for Nashville Fairgrounds if that should ever happen? I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see us going to Dover and how that plays out for the All-Star race. And if that can get a group of fans that just haven't been turning out for that racetrack for a long time. It's different style of racing than we're used to seeing, but the All-Star race is going to have a different look this year, and it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out.
Well, it is going to be a night race, which I don't know if that makes any difference, Davey. At least it won't be in the heat of the day in the middle of July in the North Carolina Piedmont. Well, it's not the Piedmont, it's the foothills. But still, it's still going to be warm.
I think foothills and Piedmont are the same word, aren't they?
I'd have to look that up.
Yeah.
I'm a DMV boy, so I'll let you guys hash that out. But I will say, I mean, a night race is always fun. You know, you get the pomp and the circumstance of that, and North Wilkesboro under the lights, there's a lot of intrigue with that. But at the same time, Brett, you nailed it. I mean, the All-Star races were not a lot to write home about. If it wasn't for a pit stop, Joey Logano would have led all 200 laps after he and Paul Wolf masterfully maximized the test that they had there. And I want to be clear too, I'm all for the idea of giving tracks that deserve more dates a second date or a points race and moving the All-Star race around and all those different things. But I just don't think that this move in particular, even though it's only 50 laps, I understand that we're not going from 400 to 500 or 500 to 400, whatever it is, it's only a 50 lap increase. I still just don't understand it really. And again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that the racing's great. And, you know, Lee, maybe you and I can be in the middle of another scrum and I can get another scar on my elbow for being in the middle of another fight and falling over a tire. I don't know. But on paper, I just don't get it. I just don't.
It could be to fit the TV window. I mean, which is my guess.
Well, it could be. That could be exactly what it is. And, you know, it said it's the first time since, 1974, they're going to have a 450-lap race at North Wilkesboro. I still am curious to see, you know, 6 weeks before that, what the All-Star race is going to look like at Dover and how it's received there.
Like I said, I hope it attracts more fans because it's been the fan turnout's been a little lackluster, and that's an important market for us. When you think about the whole New York market, and I know that that's a stretch calling that New York, but that's that East Coast corridor that people want to get. Right now, we're looking at Pennsylvania, New Hampshire is the only two races up there. You don't want to lose Dover. Then you completely lose that whole feeling in the Northeast. And so you got to find something for it, but it also has to be entertaining. And I hope it's entertaining for the fans and it makes them want to come back and bring their friends.
Well, the one thing that will work possibly in Dover's favor this time, Davey, is the fact that you're going back to a more traditional Dover date the week before Memorial Day. So weather-wise, it will be a little more amenable.
Hopefully, find some wood to knock on, please, because Dover has not had good luck in terms of weather. And I have a soft spot for that racetrack. That's my home track. Being in the D.C. area, it's a two-hour run up to Dover, Delaware. Went there twice a year, every year, as a kid with my dad growing up. And it's been unfortunate to see that track kind of go down a little bit in the pecking order in terms of the seats being removed and the track-changing ownership. SMI has done a great job revitalizing that racetrack, though, I will say. There's just a lot of different things that needed to be done that you as a fan there kind of noticed, but it was subconscious in a way. And SMI has spruced a lot of that up. The racing has remained, I would say, status quo. You know, it's a very long green flag run type of racetrack. And I always like sitting in the press box in turn one. And over the course of that long green flag run, you can see the rubber being laid down in all the different lanes. And then under caution, it gets picked right back up. And then when they go back green again, that sets down again. That's what maybe worries me a little bit about the All-Star race being at Dover Motor Speedway, though, Brett, is that a track like that, that lends itself to long green flag racing, that's not typically what the All-Star race is about. Now, who knows what the tire compound is going to look like, what the horsepower situation is going to be. There's a lot of questions that we have going into 2026 that we may not get answers to until we're maybe halfway through the season. So Dover may be one of those independent variables that we might be overlooking because it's not a points race this year that could maybe tell us a lot about what we might see in the second half of 2026. All I know is that if they're racing at Dover and I'm in the area, I'm going to be there. I will not miss it, and I'm really excited to see what happens.
All right, when we come back, a surprise change in the O'Reilly series. Stay with us.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
Need a break? A break from the grind? The stress? We have just the place. A place where you can let your inner thrill billy out. Bristol Motor Speedway, April 10th through the 12th for the NASCAR Food City 500 Triple Header Weekend. 3 days, three races, two night races, one epic weekend. Don't just take a break, race to it. Get your tickets, upgrades, and more now at bristolmotorspeedway.com. It's not just a race.
It's Bristol, baby!
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Lee Spencer and Davey Siegel, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. A surprise change in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, formerly the Xfinity Series. A guy who won a race last year, made the playoffs, and performed pretty well in the playoffs last year. Nick Sanchez, all of a sudden, gets a call last weekend, says, Nick, sorry, we're not going to be able to use you again this year. And it came from Scott Bruschetta at the 48 car. Wow. Kind of blindsided him, he said.
Well, it definitely blindsided Nick, because Nick had a great year for a rookie, you know, to win a race and make the playoffs. I mean, that's pretty sporty for somebody to do. And somebody who's a single car team, has a technical alliance with a bigger organization, RCR, there on that campus. But 5 weeks after the last checkered flag falls and you're just finding out you need a ride, and there are not a lot of rides to be found this time of year. You know, my sources tell me that Patrick Strapoli is supposed to be taking over that ride. You know, Nick's 24 years old, lots of blue sky. Patrick is a doctor during the day, you know, I think an optometrist during the day and a race car driver on the weekends. So 12-year age difference there. So I don't, you know, blue sky. I think the blue sky just walked out the door.
Well, and Davey, it sounds to me what Lee's saying is, you know, finances make a difference. If you can walk in with some money in this day and age, then because a lot of you watch that 48 car week in and week out, and it's big machine records on the side of that car most weeks, which is Scott Borchetta is putting his own money on the side of that car.
Right. And this is a big change for that race team, if that's true, and I have no reason to dispute Lee's reporting there, that Patrick Strapoli will get in there, because Nick Sanchez brings a little bit of funding, but not a whole lot. And that was a big selling point, no pun intended, of this 48 car in what is now the O'Reilly Auto Parts series. It's that Scott Borchetta is putting his own brands and his own sponsors on that race car. And it's not necessarily a 100% unquote pay-to-play type of ride that a lot of other cars in that series are. And this seems like a big change in that way, especially after you have a young driver with a lot of promise, has had some success on the ARCA level, obviously in the truck series as well, and now just won a race and made the playoffs in that series for your race team. Seemed like you were going to have a good partnership going into year two, but obviously money talks in more ways than one, especially with this ongoing trial that I'm sure we'll hit on at some point. But it just shows that it's not just the Cup Series and it's not just the big teams that really need the dollars and cents to make financial sense. It's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series teams as well. Even with somebody with as deep as pockets as Scott Borchetta has, the Xfinity Series, or what was then the Xfinity Series, now O'Reilly Auto Parts, they are no different. Same with the Truck Series as well. It's unfortunate for Nick, but I will commend him for the mindset that he seems to have right now, especially finding out this late in the game. I mean, he was doing sim work for the race team in the last 7 days, and to essentially just be told, hey, thanks, but see ya. That's rough, man, especially being as young as he is, and we're going into the holiday season. It's late in the game. So I commend him for having a positive attitude, or being as positive as he can be in the midst of these turbulent times for him. And he's got enough talent. I'm sure he'll land somewhere well.
Well, I think we all feel like that, Lee, because you saw the improvement he had over the course of the season, and especially after he won that race at Echo Park Speedway. You know, that this team just it was on a path over the whole season where they continued to rise.
Well, and he matured personally as well. I mean, you could see it because, you know, as you interview these drivers over the course of a season, especially the young ones, you get the feeling when they start to come into their skin, and he was there, and the confidence was building, and, you know, you have a camaraderie with the drivers, and, you know, they express their feelings more openly, you know, when they start to build that trust with you. And he was at that point, and, you know, you get to meet the family, and Davey's got a connection, I believe, that with his grandmother? She taught your parents in Miami or something like that. So he's a great kid. You know, I hope he lands somewhere. I understood he had a couple
of... I'm impressed by that. Yeah, Nick's, I believe, in his grandma.
Yeah. He had a couple interviews this week, so hopefully things turn out. But, you know, you look at it, and it's like you're kind of going through a shift right now where with... I'm trying to think of the team that went to Dodge. Sorry, it just slipped my...
Colleague,
with Colleague leaving, there's, you know, two teams that are gone out of Xfinity. So it's like it's shrinking a little bit. And, you know, I hope he finds something, because I thought he was a great fit for the Chevrolet program. You know, Chevrolet likes to have somebody with, you know, a Hispanic background in their stable from a marketing standpoint. I mean, they went full blown behind Sanchez and or sorry, Suarez rather.
Yep.
You know, and supported him at Spire. So hopefully, they might find something in that camp, or you know, just find something for him to do in the interim. But I think he's got a bright future ahead of him, and he certainly deserves to be in the Xfinity series.
Yeah. Go ahead, Davey.
Yeah. Sorry, I think that was my bad. But the weird connection is somehow, some way, Nick's grandma was my dad's Hebrew school teacher in Miami. Like, what are the odds of that? And I don't even know how we figured that out. But Nick and I have always joked about that if I'm ever in the Charlotte area for Passover or for Hanukkah, we'd get together and do something and make a little family reunion out of it. It's just a funny, weird Jewish geography connection. That's all.
Oh, there you go. Real quickly, before we take a break, talk about another young guy who was really shining. You might recognize the last name. Keelan Harvick, 13 years old, wins the Snowflake 125 last week, started like 15th, drove through the field, ended up getting bumped back on a restart, drove through the field again, picks up the win. He probably has a pretty good instructor, but it takes some talent still himself to be able to do that.
Well, not just that. He was studying the video of Nassi, who won the snowball. And Kevin said that Kevin was doing commentating over the weekend for Flo. And, you know, Keelan, the poise that he showed, because, you know, even the best drivers and the most mature drivers, or I should say older, because, you know, maturity is really not an age thing sometimes with racers.
Adults.
That too.
In general. But
the composure and poise he showed coming, as you said, after he got knocked out and then came back to win, just speaks volumes to where he is at his level of development.
I tell you, it's amazing because, you know, we all think about, Dave, you think about what we've seen Keelan, you know, since he was doing a pedal car in the backyard, I think. and I think Delano was trying to get him to take up golf, but mm-hmm. I think that's probably out the back door at this point.
Yeah, I think that ship has maybe fortunately now, since he's so talented, sailed. But it is pretty wild to see the amount of talent that he has. He's obviously got some great genes, and he's got a great coach in the form of a father in Kevin Harvick to help him out there. And being a Kevin Harvick fan myself growing up when I was a race fan, the fact that his son is now winning races and beating his dad straight up in late models is mind-boggling to me. But look, Kevin has had an unbelievably successful career. I think nobody would be happier than Kevin to be called Keelan's dad first rather than Cup Series champion and Hall of Famer. And I'm telling you, I don't want to put too much pressure on him, but the trajectory right now, it's seeming like Keelan is going to be one of those guys that we are talking about for not just years, but decades and decades to come. He really seems to have that it factor.
Yeah. Kevin can't walk away anytime soon, it looks like.
No. I mean, and
he's in it.
They have racing on both sides of the family because Delaney's family also came from racing. So that's kind of like a win-win for Keelan.
Absolutely. All right. Maybe they could teach their daughter how to play golf.
She could be behind a race car too pretty soon.
Don't count Piper out.
I wouldn't be shocked.
When we come back, there has been a lot of news going on, I'd say, off the track.
Listen, were you forced into getting a solar contract and now you just don't want it anymore? Maybe the solar company misled you. Or is your solar contract buried with hidden fees? Are you not saving the amount of money you thought you would on your energy costs? Don't worry. At the Solar Exit Hotline, we can help you cancel your solar contract, even if the panels are already installed. Our experienced legal team will review your contract and help you cancel it, possibly saving you thousands of dollars. You got to call right now for complete details. So listen, if you're not happy with your solar contract for any reason, we are here to help you cancel it. Call the Solar Exit Hotline now for immediate options to help you exit your solar contract. This call is 100% free.
800-471-3491. 800-471-3491. 800-471-3491. That's 800-471-3491.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, Hi, this is Brett McMillan. The opinions fly fast and furious each week on the Pit Reporters.
Every other major league sport has a playoff system, so I think the playoff system should stay. I do think there's maybe slight middle ground where there could be some changes that are made.
I do remember seasons where this championship had been decided well before the last few races, so it just isn't quite the same vibe that we have now.
Join us each week for the Pit Reporters.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Jared Jordan and Lewis Frank, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. You know, and while the guys are dealing with all this court stuff, apparently they haven't been able to come up with a championship plan yet, Jerry. So we continue to wait to find out what the championship plan looks like for next year. I don't even think we have a qualifying plan for next year yet. So there are a lot of things on the table here that have to be decided. And we're, you know, let's see, January 5th. Gosh, we're 2 months away from the first race. We got some things that need to be dealt with.
Yeah, I said before the break, or you said we're going to race in 2026. I'm like, will we? We don't know what the qualifying is. We don't know the championship. To their defense, NASCAR's been a little bit busy lately. This lawsuit has definitely got them tied up with some stuff. So I'm sure they'll get it done. There's a lot of people still work at NASCAR, not as many as they used to have after many, many, you know, cuts, but they still have a lot of people working behind the scenes trying to get everything ready for 2026. I'm sure we'll hear something in the coming weeks.
Well, sooner or later, we got to get this done. I think people would like to know. I mean, Lewis, as you look at the big topic that has been for the last half of the season and now into the off season has been, what is the championship format going to look like next year? What if you were king for a day, or if you were the lawyer in charge, what would you make?
Don't make a face, Jerry.
What would your plan be?
Well, I like the plan where maybe you have a three race playoff at the very least. I mean, I'm really old school. I like the old point season system. Even if we had Matt Kenseth win in a boring year, you know, that was all year long. He had the most consistent finishes. And to me, a championship is all year long. It doesn't play well on television, doesn't give you your ninth inning moment, as they've said over the years. So I'm a lawyer who likes to compromise. So let's have a three race instead of one race determining the championship.
Do you still like the idea of a playoff with some average finish at the end.
It gives some extra storylines. It's artificial to me, but like I said, I'm all for compromise. So have an elimination for, what, seven races, and then the last three races amongst three drivers. Because one race is not a whole season. And you knew I was rooting for Ryan Newman way back when he made the final four at Homestead, just to be a curmudgeon. He had no wins, and he could have been a champion.
Well, that's true. You like to kind of mess things up like that.
Oh, yeah.
So Jerry, what would be your choice?
Oh, you know, I used to say I liked the playoff system. And I was conditioned to like the playoff system. I mean, it's what you're supposed to say. If you don't say it, you get, you know, frowny faces on your papers from NASCAR. But in reality, we did it for a bunch of years where Richard Petty won a bunch of championships and they were kind of boring. We also did it where Richard Petty could race at one race and then everybody else could race at another race, and they could do it like three times, four times a week. I don't remember all the formats of the championship going back to 1948, but at the end of the day, the idea that going into turn one at Phoenix on lap one that Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson and William Byron, everybody, those three could have been taken out, and somebody else could have won the championship. When you can lose your championship on race on lap one or lap 301, I have a problem with that. Denny Hamlin, honest to God, should be the champion, and a caution cost him. There is no doubt in my mind. I know people say, well, he could have taken tires or whatever. He shouldn't have taken four. The truth is the caution cost Denny Hamlin the championship. And for NASCAR, that's a relief because they're in court with him right now. But in reality, I think the fair thing to do would be, if I had to compromise, I would go somewhere along Lewis's. I might go more than three races. I might go four. But why not? I mean, just go back to 36 races. And you know what? If we decide the championship and it's anticlimactic and we're in, you know, October, we still got down there and people will still celebrate. And fans, for the most part, fans will be happy.
By the way, talking about NASCAR reaction, I remember I was at the Waldorf when they announced the chase for the Nextel Cup. It's not the playoffs. Everybody, they wanted the playoffs. They wanted to play, but we couldn't say that for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, right, it became the playoffs.
Between 2016 and 2017, just so you know, because I branded and was working on a trademark for this. And it got changed. So just, you know, I'm a little bitter about that too, Lewis.
Yeah. See, now I disagree with you guys, and I made a note on this show. I still think this sport needs some kind of playoff. I am not an advocate for the 1-36 because I think it behooves everybody, teams, sponsors, networks, radio and television, shows like this. I think they all benefit from the fact that you've got something to get excited about through the summer months and into the last 10 races this season. And I made the point before, and I'll tell you this, Jerry, I love Ross Chastain. Like, love the guy to death. Ross Chastain would not be the star he is today if it weren't for the playoffs, because he doesn't make the move at Martinsville he made if it weren't for the playoffs. And so moments like that are created during the playoffs to stay alive in the playoffs. And if I'm a sponsor of the guy that's 10th place in points and we're doing a 1-36 race season, the guy's 10th in points in September or in August, nobody's paying attention to my guy because he has almost no chance to win the championship. But I think with the playoffs, at least, he's still got a shot. And I don't think, Jerry, I'll get your feeling about this, I don't think the Daytona race that sold out in September this year, I don't think that race gets nearly the pipe that it gets now if it's not the cutoff race for the playoffs.
Might have a good point there. I mean, you know, the playoffs sell tickets, and that's what NASCAR cares about. It, in theory, gets people to watch television, but if you've watched the ratings, I mean, they're okay, but they're not out of the park, to use a baseball term. But, you know, I mean, I think if we're going to do a playoff system, let's do it better. Because one race where, like I gave you, it hasn't happened, but it could, you know. It could happen, and that should not be how you determine your champion. Is one lap should not determine your champion.
Yeah.
Unless it's because they're tied in points going into the final race.
Well, like I said earlier, that's why I would want, you know, have some modified thing. I would agree. Again, compromise. 36 races, we had the Matt Kenseth championship. They even made commercials about him being like a robot back then, and Jerry remembers that too. So, yeah, I mean, it keeps some sort of playoffs, keeps the interest. But to me, just one race, or to Jerry's point, one lap shouldn't determine a champion.
Yeah, I mean, I can get on board with that. I can get on board with some kind of average finish, even though we were told that we shouldn't have to do math. I can get on board with some type of average finish as a more fair system, understanding that. I can get that. But I still think we need to have some kind of playoff because I think it benefits all the parties involved in the sport.
You know, and it's a different world than when we started. You said the show's been on the air 26 years. We've got a different audience. I go back further, you know. And so people have a shorter there's more competition. People are paying to watch other people play video games. I don't understand that. You can call me an okay boomer, but we have a different audience. Jerry pointed out the TV numbers are not what they used to be in many sports, you know. And now gaming, a.k.a. gambling, is now determining many sports. So it's a whole different world now, and you have to keep people's eyeballs on this. So it needs a change, but with some compromises.
Well, and I'm not sure the TV numbers are as bad as everybody says they are, in part because I'm not sure the TV numbers that we're getting are capturing the streaming numbers, Jerry. I mean, Xfinity was up this year. Same network right. All year long. Xfinity got great numbers. Numbers were up. But I'm not sure we're capturing all the numbers from the streaming and the other ways you're watching.
I would agree with you on that. However, NASCAR is very quick to, when they have a good streaming week, they're very quick to send us a chart that says, hey, on streaming, we had this. It was up, you know, X over Y from, you know, last year. But when I would think that it wouldn't be good, those numbers just don't fall into my inbox, you know, so I'd have to go back and look, or maybe I need to ask more often for the streaming numbers. You know, gone are the days of Joyce Julius when you could get, you know, impressions and value of dollar and things of that nature for what your ROI on your ad spend, et cetera, for putting a car on the track.
Joyce Julius, for the people out there who don't remember and not in the business, they sent you every week. I guess they had humans watching TV.
Yep.
And the number of impressions, you put a sticker on a car, they're going to tell you how many times and for how long. Golly, I must have been college students or high school students with stopwatches.
Yep.
And I would get a mail on Wednesday or Thursday with the numbers of impressions. So they really crunched the numbers back then.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. Here's Paul Doschel of Toyota.
We have a kind of robust program around NASCAR, and we feel that if we're going to be there and compete against Chevrolet and Ford, that we want to be able to tell that story. And so we feel that a 360-degree approach is the best for that. Radio fills a much needed void in our marketing program. Being able to have our commercial spots and the relationship that we have with PRN, where they talk about our vehicles as Camrys and Supras.
The Toyota GR Supra makes that hard left turn onto pit road.
As pace car, you know, the Toyota Camry pace car or the GR Supra pace car adds a nice touch to broadcast rather than when it's just the pace cars coming out of turn four. So for us, it's really the coming together of a 360-degree approach to really make our program all-inclusive.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Lee Spencer, Davey Siegel, Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. Real quickly, before we look ahead to next year, Lee, who would be your driver of the year for 2025?
Oh, and I was thinking about this. I got to give it to Denny Hamlin. I think he wins the championship if you don't have that crash by William Byron. I mean, I really do. I don't think anybody worked harder to win a championship. I mean, seriously, top to bottom, put in the time, put in the effort to win that title. And the fact that he looks pretty jovial in court compared to the guy that I saw in the wee hours at Phoenix, I don't know if he'll ever get past it, but hey.
Davey, how about you?
She took mine again. It's James Dennis.
Great minds.
I mean, yeah, that's right. He led the series in wins. He probably should have won the championship. And that's all that needs to be said, right? Regardless of whatever the format is, was, will be, Denny Hamlin put himself in a position where he knew, with a few laps to go, that he did everything in his power that he needed to do from start to finish, almost, to be a champion. And I think that's what helps him sleep at night. I'm sure that it's probably not a peaceful sleep, but a sleep nonetheless. I think he had a great year. One of the best years of his career, obviously, and one that I did not see coming at the start of the year when they showed up to Bowman Gray with a blank hauler. This is a Joe Gibbs Racing driver, a future first ballot Hall of Famer championship contender that's struggling to find sponsorship. What is going on here? With a new crew chief, by the way, that he apparently had no say in. What is this season going to be like for Denny Hamlin? If you would have told me and Denny probably at Bowman Gray that they would have 6 wins, lead the series in wins, and be that close to winning a championship, I don't know if he would have believed you. But for me, Denny gets my vote.
Yeah, most of the votes we've gotten have been for Hamlin. We have gotten some Corey Himes and some Connor Zilliches.
I mean, and they had standout years, no doubt about it. But when you look at our premier series and you have to pick one driver, Denny gets my vote. And to think Chris Gabehart wanted to do something different because he didn't think Denny Hamlin could get the job done. And so I think I think Denny wanted to prove him wrong, and he did.
Yep. What do you think as 2026 begins, what are going to be the top 2 or 3 stories you're going to be looking at?
Where Chris Gabehart goes and what's JGR post Chris Gabehart. And I mean, I hate to bring that up again, but he is that pivotal of a figure that you can't dismiss his contribution to JGR and what he could possibly do if the rumors are true at Spire.
So, we don't know where. We know he's left Gibbs. We don't know where he's going. You're saying the rumors are he's going to Spire.
That's the rumor. I'm capital R, people. Don't come back and I'm just, yes.
Rumor, capital R.
Rumor.
Davey, what do you think the top couple stories are going to be in 2026?
Yeah, that's a big one for sure. I don't use this word a lot, but I was shocked by that. I did not see that coming whatsoever. So to see where Chris Gabehart lands, that will be a big story to follow. And the fact that he's leaving one of the top 3 big teams is a big one for me too. One that I'll be following for the entirety of the year is, can anybody, whether that's an individual driver, team, or organization as a whole, catch up with and compete against those top 3 big teams? We're talking about Joe Gibbs Racing, Hendrick Motorsports, and Team Penske. I don't know if the answer is yes right now. I mean, sure, you can look at Trackhouse Racing and say, well, SVG with his road course prowess, Zilliches coming in as a rookie with a lot of road course prowess as well, and Ross Chastain, always a perennial race winner, doing what he did at the Coke 600. He could do that any given Sunday. I think Trackhouse may be the team that's most poised to make a run at him, maybe even RFK, but at the same time, none of their cars even made the playoffs. So I don't know how you can say that with a straight face. I don't know if there's one team that's knocking on the door right now or even in the vicinity to even reach over to knock on it that can challenge any of those 3 major teams. We'll see how the horsepower situation plays out. We'll see how Goodyear and their ever-evolving journey to make some tires that fall off a little bit more and make a better racing product, putting it more in the driver's hands. We'll see how that evolves as well. But overall, I'm going to see if any of those top three teams can be not just dethroned, but even challenged, because right now on paper, I just don't see it.
All right,
well, I'm going to see a little more out of Team Penske, the 22 team as well, because, I mean, I think they were just a little bit off. They looked like they were showing promise, and then they kind of sunk.
Yeah, a little bit slow most of the year. I think they lacked in horsepower most of the year. When we come back, white flag laps.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Hi, this is PRN's Andrew Curlin. Weekends are the time to get stuff done. And when you're on the go, make sure you take advantage of the PRN mobile app. You can catch myself from the pits or the turns covering the action alongside our incredibly talented PRN crew. So you can listen to us from anywhere, at home, on the road, or even at the racetrack. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips by downloading the PRN mobile app today. Available in the Apple App Store or on Google Play.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back. Time now for our white flag laps. And first up, Davey Siegel.
I just want to say that there is a lot going on in the world of NASCAR right now. A lot of it's positive. A lot of it is not so positive. But I will say there is greener grass on the horizon, everybody. The Clash will be here before you know it. Daytona is not too far behind that. And cars will be back on the racetrack soon. And even before that, the NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series has a test upcoming at The Rock, Rockingham Speedway, to see what they got in store for this 2026 season. So if you have fatigue of all the stuff going on in the courtroom the last couple weeks, you are not alone. And do not fear, racing will be back soon. And to take a page out of Brad Gilley's playbook, with the holiday season approaching, get the race fan in your life the best gift of all, and that is tickets to a NASCAR Cup, O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, or Craftsman Truck Series race. Throw in ARCA while we're at it. Why not? That is the greatest gift of all. So there is plenty to celebrate this holiday season, and greener grass is on the horizon, and I cannot wait until we are talking about cars on track and competition first and foremost.
I thought you were going to say a serious subscription, but you know,
I'll throw that in.
That too.
And no, I can't give you one for free. Sorry.
And by the way, congratulations on your wedding, and good luck, and enjoy your honeymoon.
Thank you. And go Hokies to you, bro.
Go Hokies. Thank you. And next up, Lee Spencer.
I feel really bad for Ty Majeski about now, because the guy dominated the Snowball Derby only to get to the closing laps, told he was had jumped the restart not once but twice, and got black flagged. My first experience at the Snowball Derby and my last experience, Christopher Bell won. He was DQ'd. Chris Gabehart was his crew chief. You want to go down there. You want to see that race. It's iconic. But, hey, you never know what's going to happen before or after it ends.
That sounds like it. It always is that way, it seems like. But I mean, half the years they end up getting DQ'd at the end, it seems like.
Crazy.
Unless Kevin Harvick's involved, it seems like. And Lee, hey, have a great holiday season and enjoy your trip to Australia.
Thank you.
All right. Davey, Lee, thank you guys very much for being here. We appreciate you being here. We'll talk to you next week on the Pit Reporters.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.